This is continuing with Sir Bernard Lovell on 1 September 76. What were you saying that Bart Bach was saying?
Well, I'm sure you've got a record of Bart Bach pleading, I can't remember with whom, or making a public speech somewhere, maybe in the National Arts Foundation, pleading for some American investment in radio astronomy. And then, of course, there were the early misfortunes associated with the with Green Bank, which still further hindered the sun.
You're referring to the 140-foot.
Yes, and the trouble with the directors there. The sadness about palsy.
Yeah. But this is even later than I'm talking about. Okay, this is an interesting point you make about, well, you've got these big optical telescopes, so you're going to concentrate in that area. But the radio physicists at the radiation lab at MIT could have just gone and developed radio astronomy quite independent of what's going on in the 200-inch. I mean, there wasn't any national astronomy funding organization that was setting priorities.
Well, they could presumably also develop magneton in the war or any of the devices that we developed. I mean, I simply do not know how you give an explanation of this. Yeah. You can talk around it as we're doing in these terms. I mean, there is limited money and limited manpower. And you can think of many examples since then and ask why didn't a group of people or a certain society engage in certain developments. Millimeter wave radio astronomy, for example. Whether that was going to be important or not.
Yeah.
I don't see anything particularly odd about that. I mean, nobody can do everything.
Yeah.
You have to be an almighty wise to see the future, don't you?
Sure.
I mean, if you always did the right things, then you would know.
Well,
I think this is a battle which one has with oneself and with one's students, that the universe which exists is not that which we investigate today. But how can you and I judge what is the correct thing that somebody in 20 years' time will say, my God, why didn't those people love and do X or Y or Z?
Right.
I mean, look at the discovery of pulsars.
Yeah.
See, and in spite of the remarkable discoveries of quasars, pulsars, within a decade, within their own subject, you still find in groups like I have at John Bank a great reluctance to start investigating or searching for anything outside of those two subjects. I mean, they write their computer programs to investigate particular aspects of these phenomena. And more, it seems to me that very important pieces of information about the universe may be going into the dustbin.
Because people are not willing to explore.
Yes. But you can't.
But hasn't it always been just a small fraction of?
This is why I said I was always only happy when I had the telescope working for 10 or 15% of its time on something which was not known to be to produce results.
Yeah.
In a place like Jodrell Bank, you have the commitments to your students, and you must give them run-of-the-mill stuff, so they get their PhD thesis.
Sure.
If you devote all your activities and energies and instrumentation to that, then sure enough you'll decay within a decade.
Yeah. I was rather interested in the remark you made in introducing Philip Morrison the other evening about this letter that he wrote to you in 58, was it, the letter? 57?
57, wow.
Shortly before.
Yes, must have been 57.
Shortly before their Nature article. Yeah. You never did devote any fraction of the telescope's time to looking for intelligent signals. That was a little bit too speculative. Was that the reasoning there?
Yes, I think so. I think I think that exceeded my own view of what was reasonable speculation. Not that I was against it. It was a personal assessment that any success in that kind of search, you would need to take every damn major telescope in the world and set it on it, you see. Which I think I said to somebody once, if you could stop all the defense radars and use all those dishes on this subject, then you might be getting somewhere.
You still feel that way now?
Oh, sure. But you say I still feel that way. I feel that for a proper attack on the subject,
or something like Cyclops. I mean, you think that that's what really what's required?
Well, Cyclops, I have some reservations about that because of it's a transmitting array. Yeah. We were talking about listening.
No, that's listening. Cyclops.
And transmitting.
No, its primary mission was just plain listening, surveying the nearest million stars over over 30 years or so.
I thought it had a powerful transmitter.
No?
Yeah.
No, it's a big ear, so to speak. Well, I already asked you the question about the major achievements of radio astronomy, and you listed them specifically. I'd be interested in how you think that radio astronomy has changed astronomy as a whole. I mean, have the optical astronomers been able to stay the same because of radio astronomy, or have they been...
Okay. I haven't got a complete analysis of the time to which 200 inches is devoted, but... I would have thought that if you take the big American telescopes, you would find that over the last 15 years, for example, a considerable amount of their time had been devoted to redshift measurements of quasars. And there is a perfectly clear example of how the situation has been changed.
Well, that's certainly true. I was thinking more of a philosophical point. I mean, do optical astronomers think differently? Because I think radio astronomers are a different breed. In many ways. Has this infected the optical astronomy community? Have you seen this taking place at all?
I think the answer is a positive one. Bearing in mind that the optical astronomers are no longer related only to the radio astronomers, but they're now related to the entire spectrum.
Right.
I think before... I think a few years ago, the question would have been more difficult to answer than it is now. But you can't be an optical astronomer nowadays and just be an optical astronomer. After all, you observe almost most of the interesting objects in the universe. You now have information from gamma rays, x-rays, the lot.
Right. And the radio was really just the first step in...
Radio was the first step.
Yeah. That's right. Well, unless you have some other comments as you look over the development of the field.
Well, there's nothing else I want to say, but if you have anything else you want to ask me, I'll do my best to answer it. But I'm sure that other questions will occur to you as you investigate.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And as you say, you've written an awful lot, and so it's your past is much better.
But I haven't attempted to write the history.
Oh, no, but your own personal involvement.
I wanted to particularly write the history of the radio telescope, which was so very, very complicated.
Yeah.
And contains so many lessons
for
science.
But if everyone who has been a major figure in the field had written a book or two like that, then it wouldn't be much for my child.
I don't propose to follow up anymore. Out of the Zenith was my last effort in that direction. I am interested in writing other things now. I will look up some of these papers.
Okay.
You have the complete list you want.
Thank you.
You let me know if you want any.
This is the interview with Sir Bernard Lovell on 1 September 76.